Macintosh is part of Apple's purpose for being in business. To create personal computers that help you get the most out of living. A vision best summed up by Steve Jobs, chairman of Apple Computer.
I'm glad you had a chance to see Macintosh. I'm really excited about it myself. And what's so exciting about Macintosh is, while Lisa pioneered this amazing software technology, with Macintosh we've been able to take that software technology and pull it down into a price range that's going to be affordable, not just to the corporation, as Lisa is, but to the individual. And we're going to find people buying Macintoshes for their own use or for use in a dormitory. And coupled with this radical ease of use, I think we're going to be able to bring these products to not just hundreds of thousands or a few million people, but tens of millions of people. And that's really what the personal computer revolution is all about.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah, and I'm joined by two men who dress so fine.
It'll blow your mind. Hey, Mickey.
Oh.
I was going to say you made Frank Sinatra look like the hobo, but I like your joke better. Alex Excelsior Heath is with us. Alex, hello.
Hello, Erfan Elijah.
And Buster Kiney is here as well. Buster.
Hey, dude.
Hi. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year to you as well.
2014. I can't believe it. We made it.
Yes, we did.
Do you guys have any New Year's resolutions?
I can't talk about them publicly.
To stop being a serial killer?
Yeah.
Does it involve Colorado?
Yes. That is resolving to make a trip there.
You could come here too, Buster.
Yeah, or say, hey, oh, it's illegal there in
Seattle,
Washington.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't think we have any stores yet, but I know that it's become legal. So you can always come visit me. Hey, thanks to Squarespace.com for sponsoring the show. Gosh, I love Squarespace. If you guys need a new website, maybe you are starting a new business in the new year. Maybe you are going to start a blog. Maybe you just want to showcase your work online. I had a photographer friend telling me that she loves Squarespace and she uses it because their image galleries are so incredibly easy to create and manage, which they are. Head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast to start your free trial. You're going to love Squarespace's easy drag-and-drop template systems for building a website. We'll talk about them a little bit more in the show, but definitely want to thank them for supporting the episode. Hey, guys, quick announcements before we jump into our favorite stuff of the year, which we're going to talk about, which is going to be fun. We're also going to talk about all this NSA stuff that's been going on and how they like the backdoor action. I tried. I really tried to refrain. But we're going to be in Las Vegas again next week for CES 2014. And it's going to be a great time. This is going to be, what is this, Buster? This is going to be your third year there, right? I think this is my fourth.
My first. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be Alex's first. And it's going to be a special event for us because I don't think any of us have actually met Alex in person.
Yeah, no, nobody has.
I don't exist. That's the thing. I'm an AI.
I'm pretty sure he's a cyborg. So we're going to test that theory. I'm going to pour water on him the first chance I get, see if he shorts out.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a grand old time. We're going to do a show all together in the same room, which is always fun.
Oh.
At CES, we're going to be talking about all the crazy gadgets. Of course, CES is the Consumer Electronics Show. One of the biggest conventions in the world, definitely the biggest for technology. I think like 150,000 people are going to be there. And all the big tech companies are going to be there, so we'll be there to cover it and have a jolly good time. But that'll be next week. Guys, for this week's show, I thought we could start with a little segment I've been calling Get to Know Your Cultist.
Ooh.
To Know Your Cultist. This is, of course, the segment where we answer a question so our audience can get to know us a little bit better. And I was trying to think of something that we could talk about that would kind of take us back into our childhoods. And the one that came to mind was your favorite toys growing up. Now, Alex, this shouldn't be hard for you because I'm sure you probably still have some of them, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I do. Your drawers. Okay. Well, does anyone want to go first?
Favorite childhood toys.
Okay, I'll go first since you guys can think about yours. So, my big one, Actually, I'm going to name two. G.I. Joes. I loved G.I. Joes. I used to play with those things all the time, and I probably wore out like 1,000 of them. Had a really vivid imagination when I was young, which has since totally vanished. But I used to also play with – I used to live in a very heavily wooded area, so I used to always play with like sticks. Did you guys play with sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, good. Nice. So I would go outside and just play with sticks for hours. And one time I thought it'd be really cool to build a catapult, you know? So not a catapult, like a seesaw type thing. So like you have a board up on like a rock and then you jump on one side and the other side flips up. So I kind of like constructed this thing where I could put a rock on one side and you jump on the other side and the rock would fly up into the air. Mm-hmm. And so I got this thing all built, probably took me about 5 minutes. And it got the rock set up, jumped on it, and the rock flew up and hit me right in the face. And that was the end of my engineering career.
Short-lived.
I learned at that moment I did not want to build stuff. Unless
you went out with
Legos.
A bang, though, man.
Yeah. Alex, what do you got? What do you got for us?
Pretty much every Game Boy that was ever made.
Oh, you were a big Game Boyer, huh?
Oh, yeah. Original Game Boy. Had the black and white one. Mm-hmm. Love the Game Boy stuff.
Out of all the Game Boys, which one was your favorite? Game Boy Color?
I have a special place in my heart for the original black and white one.
Yeah?
Just because it's the first one I used. Uh-huh. But I really liked the Advance for a while. Mm-hmm. The Advance had some nice games. I actually liked the original DS. I used that one a lot.
I would never have pegged you as a Game Boy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you still play like portable games?
No, I don't.
You don't walk around with like the 3DS?
No. Like iPhone has totally replaced all that for me. But
do you play a lot of games on the iPhone now?
I mean, I'm not. I go through phases. Okay. Like right now, I'm not. But I go through phases where I have a few games I really like. But no, I have a huge spot in my heart for Nintendo, like the original, like NES and stuff like that. I was a huge Nintendo fan growing up.
Me too.
So it's like Super Mario World was like my thing. Like the original Mario on the N64. I spent countless hours on that game.
Oh, man, that game, when I first saw that game, it blew my mind.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. And then
the graphics were so incredible.
Yeah, and then then they ported it to the DS, and it was even better because it was the graphics had been improved, and they added some new stuff with the touchscreen that actually worked pretty well. Mm-hmm. And on the DS, I loved that game. I played it on the DS so much.
Hey, just real quick, does somebody have like a plastic bag, Buster,
or a beard,
like a beard maybe. Hairnet or something. I keep hearing like a little scrunchly sound. Are you rubbing your beard against the microphone, Buster? That's probably what it is, isn't it?
Possibly. Like right now.
Yeah, okay, maybe it was.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Sounds like I'm wandering through a heavily wooded forest and I keep getting hit with branches. Buster, what's your pick?
Oh, I don't know, man. I didn't have like one favorite toy. I like, remote controls a lot, or remote controlled cars a lot.
Those were so expensive.
See, I always hated those.
I like the small ones, and then, you know, they would always break, though. That was the problem. like rockets. I had like model rockets that I played with a lot.
Did you really?
We had a huge field behind our house, so we had like tons of room to just like shoot them up and then go chase them. And we'd put like glow sticks on them at night and try and find them.
That's a good idea.
Stuff like that.
Did you guys ever have that water rocket that like you filled with water and you strapped it onto that pump and then you'd pump it?
No, I did it.
No? Alex, that might have been before your time.
No, I remember those, but no, I never was into that kind of thing. I was into like the action figures and the games.
And I'm the only G.I. Joe guy, huh?
Yeah, I never really cared for G.I. Joe.
Were you more of a My Little Pony guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex is a total brony, man.
Alex, I'm sorry. Did that hurt your feelings?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, were you more of a Cabbage Patch Kid guy? All righty. Well, hey, thanks for... humoring me, guys. I feel like I know you a little bit better, and you've become a little bit more special in my heart. Let's talk about our favorite stuff of 2013. I know you guys think this is played out. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing like their favorite news and stuff. But I thought we could keep it simple, and we'll just choose like one favorite app, favorite piece of gear, and maybe favorite movie of 2013. And the difference is that even though all these other websites are doing this same segment, no one knows what we like, and that's, you know, what our audience really wants to hear because they care so much about us personally as people. So does anyone want to start?
I'll start.
Are we don't all jump in at the same time?
Are we gonna do like we each say one for one category and we go in like a we all take turns and then we go to the next category?
Why don't you just do all three? Because I feel like if we do the other way, it's gonna take too long. So just spout them off.
Okay. I would say that my favorite app of the year, even though I don't think it was actually released in 2013, but I didn't start using it until this year, last year, would be VSCOcam or VSCOcam, however you want to say it.
I've always just called it VSCOcam.
Yeah. VSCO. VSCOcam for sure. It's a really inspiring like app in terms of like mobile photography and what they're doing with like the curated grid and stuff with their grid beta, and they're kind of turning into this social network for like legit photographers. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a lot of fun just like experimenting with the filters in the app, because I think they're the best really of any app on mobile.
I think they are, man. Their filters are incredible.
Yeah, well, and obviously they are, because I mean the visual supply company is known for their desktop filters for like, you know, Lightroom and Aperture. And then what they're doing with the grid stuff moving forward, like it sounds like they're kind of turning into an Instagram for like real legit photographers, like our friend With Hearts and people like that.
It's 500 pics is.
Yeah, it's like 500 pics. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that would be my app. And then my gear would probably be the iPad Air.
Oh, you got one.
Yeah, I got one.
Nice.
Because I had the iPad 3 before that, and it was such a big improvement. I mean, it is an amazing tablet. Like, it's definitely the best tablet out there right now, I think. Just in terms of like power and how slim it is now, and there's really not like a trade-off for me with the Mini anymore. Like it used to be like a weight trade-off, but I really don't notice it anymore. I like the Air because of the larger screen. So that would be my gear.
Okay.
And my movie, that's hard, because
let's say movie theater movies too, because otherwise we could say movies that didn't come out this year.
Yeah. I would say my favorite one that I've seen recently that I could say is like definitely in my top 10 probably of all time is probably American Hustle.
Who's one of the main stars in that?
It's the new David O. Russell. It's Christian Bale and Bradley Cooper and Amy Adams.
I keep getting that confused with the one that Matthew McConaughey is in. Which one's that?
Mud? Dallas Buyers Club?
That Dallas Buyers Club, yeah.
That one was good too, yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen that yet, but I heard that's really good. But no, American Hustle is awesome. I saw it in the theater a couple weeks ago, and it's definitely in my top 10. Great movie. David O. Russell is probably going to win an Oscar for it again.
I need to see that.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, Buster.
Alex kind of stole my app, bastard. Jerk.
You were going to go with that one too, huh?
It's one of the apps that I use the most. Mm-hmm. So instead, I will say a different photography app, AVG Cam Pro for long exposures and stuff. Like I took a ton of hikes this year and took way too many pictures of waterfalls. Mm-hmm. But
dude, your eye phonography has been on point this year, though.
Yeah, dude, good stuff.
Oh, thanks, guys. I've worked hard. But no, I used Average Cam Pro a ton for like long exposures, even just like if it's a sunset, to like make the clouds like wispy. So you take like 128 frames and stack them all into one picture. So that was my favorite app, I guess, if I can't have Alex's.
You could pick Alex's if you wanted to.
You'd just be a copycat.
Yeah,
I can't play like that. Yeah. So for favorite gear, I have this Libratone lounge speaker. It's just like an AirPlay speaker. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's the same thing as like a Sonos, but it's probably been my favorite piece of new gear that I've used all year. Just because you can, you know, friends come over, they know how to use it to play like music, whatever they want. And I don't know, it's awesome as far as like sound quality and ease of use.
You said it's AirPlay enabled?
Yeah, it's AirPlay as well as Bluetooth if you want to do Bluetooth like with an Android. So it's pretty nice.
Cool. Okay.
Movie. Shoot, man. Fruitvale Station was really good. I think that might have been one of my favorite movies this year. It was it's about this guy that got killed by or got shot by police in Oakland in 2008 in New Year's Eve, or it's based on it. And it's, you know, kind of like depressing but heartwarming at the same time.
Alrighty. Let's see here. You know, my app is going to be a little weird, and I was it was kind of hard for me to think of what I actually use a lot. And there's one app that I pretty much use every single day. And I talked about this. It was a former Fave and Raves pick. And that is the app, Apps Gone Free. And it's weird that this has become such a prominent app for me. But it's great because it just shows you really good apps that have gone from being some price to free every single day. And I've gotten so many awesome apps from this app because I always know when good stuff goes free. Like, for example, I don't know if it'll still be free when you're hearing this, but there's a great app called Scanner Pro that used to be $7 and it's free right now. And the reason I know that is because it was on my Apps Gone Free app. So really useful. And if you like trying out new apps, it's a really great way to do that. Plus the UI is really good. So that's going to be my app pick. Excuse me. I think for my gear, I don't mean to be a traitor. I mean, this is an Apple show, but I kind of have to pick my Xbox One. This thing is incredible. I wish more people had one so I could talk about it with people that actually owned it, because not a lot of people own it right now. But it's totally changed the way I interact with my television. Mm-hmm. Because the voice commands are so on point. You don't ever have to actually pick up a controller. You don't have to control it with your hands. You can just control everything with your voice. And it's,
now, you say that, but I've used an Xbox One at a friend's house. Actually, it was just like a week and a half ago, and it was the most annoying experience.
Right, you didn't there was like it.
No, I hated it. It didn't make, like, the interface is so hard to use to navigate, I thought. Mm-hmm. And then the voice commands, like, never worked. They worked, like, one-third of the time.
There's a couple tricks. I mean, there's a learning curve involved, for sure. I'll give you that. And when you first use it, you may have that experience that you just described, because it doesn't do natural speech like Siri does, or Siri tries to, I should say. You have to learn what the Xbox is expecting you to say. So that's one thing. Once you learn those, it does become a lot more accurate. And the other thing is, I found that it performs really poorly if there's a lot of background noise going on in your house. Was there a lot of that when you tried it, Alex?
I mean, yeah, there were a lot of people there. Yeah, but
it pretty much stops working at that point. So that's something that needs to be improved, because I think that was one of the touted features. Like, it would be able to pinpoint your voice even when other people were talking.
Right.
So in any case, I love mine. It's so awesome just to walk into my house and be like, Xbox on, go to Netflix, and everything's just booted and ready for me. For my movie, you guys are totally going to make fun of me. And if Leander was here, he'd probably totally make fun of me too. I'm going to go with The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
That's fine. Wow. I'm okay with that pick. Okay? I mean, it's not a great pick, but it's fine.
I love dragons. No, it's not the best movie ever, but it was one of the best that I saw this year. And I, full disclosure, I haven't read the book. Okay, so there's a lot of people that just facepalmed. I'm gonna be honest, I haven't read the book. Most of the people who have read the book didn't like the movie, because I guess it so much has been changed, as always happens, right, with movies.
I've read the book several times, and I wasn't mad about the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. I mean, they add a ton of stuff, but it makes it entertaining.
I thought it was awesome. And I actually haven't seen a lot of movies this year, so for me, it's probably like the biggest blockbuster movie that I've seen, and the story was good. Dude, the special effects in that movie are incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just gotten to this point in movies now where even when CGI is being used, you can hardly tell. It's so immersive now. And the lighting, like textures and effects that they're able to create in movies now are so lifelike and real that it just makes me really excited for movies in 2014. So
I would say that we should do our favorite TV shows, but we're all just going to say Breaking Bad. So
I'm just finishing the last season now.
Oh, although you haven't finished?
No, I haven't finished. Oh my gosh. It's just starting to get really, really hard to watch because it's so suspenseful now.
What?
Yeah.
What point are you at?
I don't want to say because there might be people. I'm at the point where, let's just say
there. You don't have to say the story. Just say the season.
Oh, I'm in the last season, and I'm at the episode where there's a kid on a dirt bike.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. No. Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Some shiz just went down. It was kind of hard to watch, but.
Oh, that's got so much better from there.
Man, I'm really excited.
Yeah. I will say though, guy, Sherlock is in a close second for me.
I keep hearing that show's really good.
I just watched the season 3. Have you seen that yet, Buster?
I haven't watched Sherlock at all.
Oh, neither of you have watched it?
No, but I keep hearing how good it is, and you know,
you've got to watch it. You both would love it.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's so like well written and like entertaining and funny, but also like suspenseful. And it's really creatively shot too. I love the way it's shot. But like the season, like the end of season 2, the season 2 finale is some of the best television I've ever seen.
Wow.
It's really interesting.
Wait, I've heard from other people that it's kind of gotten like they didn't like it.
No, dude, I don't know who you're talking to, but like
I think I saw. Oh, I won't say who. Anyway.
But like it's, I mean, it has such a cult following, and like everyone that I've heard from is like, season 2 finale was like the best thing I've ever seen, and then the season 3 first episode, which just came out yesterday, is so good.
On the list, totally gonna watch it.
It's on Netflix right now. Season 1 and 2 are.
Oh, cool.
But be prepared because it's BBC and they do hour and a half episodes, so it's like you're watching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but there's only three episodes per season. So,
okay, that's awesome.
I kind of like that format way better.
Yeah,
it's really cool because it's basically like you're watching three movies in a row, and they have the production quality of like a cinematic movie. So, it's awesome.
A side note: Benedict Cumberbatch did the voice for Smaug the Terrible.
Yeah. That's why it's taken 2 years for them to shoot season 3 of Sherlock is because he's so busy. Well, and Martin Freeman's been doing The Hobbit too. They're both really good.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, good point. Hey, before we continue, we're going to talk about all this crazy NSA stuff that's been happening, that's been all over the news. But I just want to give another shout out to Squarespace.com. As I said before, if you need a website, you need Squarespace, because not only do they have and remarkably reliable service. Your website's going to be up whenever you need it. But their drag and drop template system that they use to create websites is kind of like, it kind of makes them the Apple of the web host world. Because if you've never used it, it's really intuitive and you don't have to know how to do any kind of coding at all. You just drag and drop the elements that you want into your website. Well, first you pick a template, and they have all these really beautifully designed templates. And you drag and drop all the elements. You can do images. You can do text boxes. You can do all sorts of stuff, social media. And then once you're totally finished, you can adjust all the colors. Again, you're not using any code or anything. Add your logo and everything to the top and the bottom, wherever you want it. And then you hit publish. And here's where the magic happens. Squarespace will automatically resize all the images, resize all your text, all your web pages and everything so that it looks great on any device that visits. It's a very dynamic, scalable website. And normally you'd have to pay big bucks to have this done in a custom way, but Squarespace includes it for free. So if an iPhone goes to your site, your photo gallery, your e-commerce store is going to look great. And it's also going to look great on your MacBook Pro. Really, really amazing service, easy to use, and their Squarespace support is incredible. I mean, if you call them, if you chat with them, they're always really easy to deal with, very friendly, and always very helpful as well. So I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring. They've been a sponsor of ours for a while, and I love having them. Couldn't recommend them more highly. Go check them out, squarespace.com/cultcast. And here's the thing. If you decide you want to sign up for service, you can sign up for a month of service, a year of service. It doesn't matter. You can use the code CULTCAST1. and you're going to get 10% off your order. So you could save a lot of money if you decide to subscribe for the whole year. Plus, you get a free domain name if you do that. So go check them out, squarespace.com/cultcast. You guys, I don't know if you know this.
What?
But the NSA likes backdoor action.
What?
Yeah. That's the news going around. And you guys probably all knew that. But of course, the big story, and feel free to interject here wherever you'd like, Alex, I think you wrote the piece, is there's a big story that came out from Der Spiegel. And
Der Spiegel.
Publication. I just butchered that. I'm sorry to all of our German listeners. Jacob Applebaum. Wrote the piece, and he basically said, or he didn't write the piece, he was giving a talk at a convention, and he basically said that the NSA has the ability to hack into the iPhone and has since 2008, that they have a multiple set of tools that they can use. One of them, the one that's been getting the most press, is called Dropout Jeep, and since the first iPhone, that software has been installed on your device. And it allows the agency to snoop your text messages, your address book contacts, your geolocations, your voicemails. And it could even activate the microphone on your iPhone, turn the camera on and take pictures, and receive cell tower locations. And of course, the crazy part was, is everyone was like, well, there's no way that the NSA could install this on the iPhone unless Apple helped them build it. Or it was at least in cahoots with them to install it. Apple has since come out and said that they have no idea what this NSA program is, and that they definitely didn't work with the NSA. Specifically, they said Apple has never worked with the NSA to create a backdoor in any of its products, including iPhone, and has been unaware of this alleged NSA program targeting our products. So the question becomes, who do you believe? And some of our listeners have been tweeting me, and they're like, do you guys buy Apple that they don't know anything about this? Alex, what do you think?
It's really hard to tell. I mean, during his talk, Applebaum said that it's like, basically what it comes down to is that the NSA either has a bunch of exploits for American companies that they're not sharing with American companies to help make these, you know, to help these companies make their products more secure, mm-hmm. or Apple complied and helped them out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Apple's denial is pretty straightforward. I mean, it's not really in their best interest to lie about it. If anything, they would just not issue a comment on it if they were involved. Because if they do lie about it and it ever gets out that they did work with the NSA, then it's going to paint them in a much worse light mm-hmm. than if they would have just denied anything and not, you know, said anything at all. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's in their best interest to lie. So I think the odds of them working with NSA are very low. And you got to remember these documents that were leaked, they're from 2008. Mm-hmm. And the latest reference, I think, is like iOS 5. Mm-hmm. So these aren't up-to-date modern documents, so we don't really know what the state of Dropout Jeep is now. Mm-hmm. And in the documents, it can only be installed on the device. Like they have to have physical access to the device. They don't have a detailed way that has been leaked that they can remotely install anything. Yeah, unless your phone has been like in government buildings or I don't know. Most people should not worry about this at all. Like the vast majority of pretty much everyone should not worry about this. But I mean, it is kind of concerning that the NSA has been collecting all of these exploits and backdoors without telling these American companies. So don't know what to make of it, but I wouldn't worry as far as like, is my iPhone safe from the NSA? Like Gmail's already, you know, all your emails, Google's already sold all your emails and all of your information. If your information is online.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, if your information.
Using Gmail, your information has already been sold.
Well, not even just Gmail, but like if you are online at all, if you share anything online, whether it's Facebook or Gmail or, I mean, the odds are that that information has already been seen by someone that you didn't know it would be seen by. So.
Sure, but I don't think that's really what people, you know, are worried about. They're more like, you know, worried about the NSA coming and finding their naughty pics and
blackmail them. If you've got child porn on your device, you should be worried because it's illegal. Because
that's illegal. Well, duh. So, but
I wouldn't worry about, you know, the NSA coming after me. It's not a matter of national security.
No, you're right. But still, I mean, just the fact that a device is so easily accessible, you know, without a warrant is cause for concern for
basically it
should be a cause for concern for everybody.
Yeah, the biggest concern is that they have all these exploits and the companies don't know about them or quote unquote don't know about them. But I mean, unless you're a terrorist, you know, you really shouldn't be worried.
And we're not terrorists, by the way. I just want to put that out there. Have no affiliation with any terrorist organization. In case the NSA is listening. I don't think there's any way Apple knew about this. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would Apple allow the NSA or work with the NSA to include this software on their iPhone? It would be suicide for them because eventually it's going to come out. Somebody who knows about it's going to talk. They're way too high profile to keep something like this secret if they actually did it. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would Apple decide to put this on their phone? I mean, to help the NSA? I mean, there's just no reason for them to do that. I mean, and there's every reason for them not to do it because they're obviously trying to keep consumers happy, right? They've taken a long time to build up consumer trust. This would obviously destroy that. They would be done. Their sales would go through the floor if they actually participated in this and people found out about it. No one would ever buy an iPhone again.
That's so not true. Most people don't even care. Irfan, that's the sad part, is that most people don't read this stuff, and most people, if they did hear about it on, like, a local news station, they would go, oh, wow, that's really disconcerting, and they would forget about it.
You think so? Because I think the story would become so mutated through the press, and there'd be so many iterations of what's actually happening that the headline would be NSA spying on you. Apple works with NSA to spy on you through your iPhone, and I think that
What came out of Prism when all the Prism stuff was, I mean, sure, it was a big deal, but it's not like anything's changed. Like, it's not like people are, like, storming Washington. Like,
you do have, like, some companies trying to ask for more transparency on that stuff. Well, some stuff has happened.
Apple's one of them. Apple's, like, leading that pretty much. But, like, I'm just saying,
if there's not a back, or if Apple wasn't aware of the back door and the NSA really did, you know, create all those exploits and never told anybody, I think, you know, Apple should be pretty pissed off at that.
Yeah. I mean, they can't do anything about it. The idea that all iPhone sales would stop if it was uncovered that Apple had worked with the NSA is ridiculous.
I think if people knew that if you buy an iPhone, Apple has, let's just say hypothetically it was true, Apple is working with NSA to install software on your iPhone that lets the NSA at any time activate your microphone, listen to your voicemails, read your text messages, there's no way people would go for that. I mean, you come out of the shower and the all-watching eye of iPhone is watching you towel dry. Why am I getting churned on?
Your iPhone is also just pointed just very awkwardly at you.
You're like, why is your iPhone? Don't you usually lay it flat? Why is it pointed towards you? I just, you know, that's just the angle it was at. I don't know. People don't notice when the iPhone's sitting that direction either, Buster. Believe me, I know you don't. I shared a room with you at CES last year, and we'll just leave it at that.
Did you catch all those that one night?
Oh, I got everything. I got everything.
Well, Buster's body hair is a matter of national security. So,
oh yeah, I'm enjoying those for 12 months. I'm ready for a new set. All right, so you guys think it's just nothing to be worried about?
Well, no, I don't think it's nothing to be worried about. I think Apple should definitely press the NSA that they should be sharing that information with them at least, so that, you know, the iPhone is more secure. Mm-hmm. As well as you should be able to, like, keep the government out of your phone unless you have a warrant, you know.
Yeah, word to that. So,
Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Patriot Act.
That's just there to satiate the citizens. The government doesn't actually, you know, they don't even care about your privacy anymore.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're watching me through my Xbox One. That reminds me of, I saw a meme of an Xbox, and it had the all-watching eye of Kinect sitting there, and it was a Soviet Russia joke, and it said, in Soviet Russia, Xbox watches you. Apparently, I'm the only one that thought that joke was entertaining, though.
Hey, I don't have an Xbox.
What?
I'm gonna make a ton of those jokes when I'm in Russia next month, so prepare yourself.
Are you going to Russia?
Yeah.
For Sochi?
Sochi.
Oh, you're actually going to that?
I hope you don't get killed, man.
Yeah, man.
You too.
If anyone offers you microfiche, turn it away. Do not take the microfiche in exchange for ruples. Hey, before we wrap up, I totally forgot to ask you guys about CES. One last thing. Any technology you're excited to see at this year's show? Buster? No.
I think it'll be like, there will be some weird iPhone powered something or other. Mm-hmm. Last year it was like a training baby toilet, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited for the.
I do remember that. Yeah, with the iPhone or the iPad attachment.
Yeah, that's my favorite stuff at CES, is just the really weird, stupid ideas that people bring to CES. Those are my favorite.
It will never top the bow and arrow I saw at Macworld.
Oh,
last year.
That bow and arrow. Yeah, stuff like that, man.
It was like a bow and arrow where you mount your iPhone to the front of it and use it to play motion control games. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Alex, anything?
Not really. Hopefully some like, some cool cases. I don't know.
You're going to see plenty of those.
At the iLounge, Alex will be there all day just oogling over cases.
No, I mean, I don't know. I wish there was like more cool iPhonography stuff, like camera related stuff for the iPhone.
Oh, I'm sure there will be tons of different like lens add-ons. Oh,
yeah. But like more than that, like I feel like Alloclips pretty much got that down. But like, I mean, just like, I don't know, ways to like interface the iPhone with maybe like a DSLR or just more like more photography. Like that one really cool tripod mount for the iPhone that's like retractable that Charlie wrote about.
Mm-hmm.
Like stuff like that, like stuff that kind of turns your iPhone into its own like full fledged camera. I think that would be interesting.
Well, for those that have never heard us talk about CES before, there's a giant area called the iLounge Pavilion, which is basically all just Apple accessories. And every year it grows. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just filled with accessories for iPhone and iPads. So that's the area we usually focus on. We just walk through that and try to find the best and weirdest stuff. And there is some weird stuff in there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of that, adult tool that plugged into your iPhone and pulsed.
Oh, yeah man. That was a good one.
Funny. In any case, that'll be us next week. But I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there, guys. That's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. If you want to follow our adventures in Vegas, absolutely follow us on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, Buster's B-S-T-3-R. Alex is Alex E. Heath. And you guys are going to be posting a lot on Instagram too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Same
name, BST3R.
Alex Heath.
And then I'm at Erfon, same deal. We're going to be posting all sorts of nudified pictures come Vegas. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time in Vegas. I hope you like watching grandmas play blackjack slot machines.
Oh, maybe they have a nickel casino out there. We can come play with that.